We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my favorite sisters in Christ, Miss Renee Kielhofer. How are you, gorgeous?
I am great. I'm great. Glad to be here.
We're so glad you can join us. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. We'll do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located here in Elk City. Pastor Chasten and Brooklyn Music are amazing. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time to come together and just talk about how good you are. And Father, I pray that you would anoint the words that are spoken and anoint our hearts to receive from you today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning. I'm still learning. Be still.
Be still. Yeah, I feel like God's been dealing with me to be still for quite a while. And so when it's my turn to do Hour of Power, you just get whatever God's been dealing with me about. So if you want to know what's going on in my life, just listen. But, you know, we all live in this crazy, chaotic world. We all live in the same world. We all have different opinions about that world. But there's just so much going on right now. And it is a level that I've never experienced before. So we have all of that that's just, like, global. And then you add that to the personal chaos that you have in your life. You know, we find ourselves constantly juggling all the details of our own life and our own responsibilities. And for me, that's like trying to balance my time between my relationship with the Lord, my relationship with my husband, being there for my elderly parents. I have grown children who still need their mom from time to time. I have grandchildren that I really want to sow into their lives. And then there's also, you know, just taking care of my house, going to work, being a good friend to the people that are in my life, serving in my church, serving the body of Christ. All of these things require my attention and require my time. And so it's very easy for things to get out of balance quickly in my life. And the sad reality is that there are people who just heard me rattle off that list of things that I feel like are making my life so full and so busy. And they are thinking, man, I wish that was all that was on my plate. You know, I recognize that there are a lot of people out there who have a lot more going on than I do. And I'm just saying, with what's on my plate, I struggle. So I can only begin to imagine. You know, we can compare our struggles all day long. But the bottom line is, I think on some level, most, if not all, struggle at least part of the time, at least sometime. And so in my own life, I'm always walking this delicate balance, trying to keep it all covered and not be overwhelmed. You know, it's like there's this fine line, this one little place where you can walk where it's like, okay, I got all this done and I'm not overwhelmed. You know, I still have a smile on my face. I'm okay. But you add anything to the mix, good or bad, and it can throw everything off. For instance, for me, my youngest daughter is about to have her first baby in April. Now, that is so exciting. I am so super pumped about that. But then that has added, first of all, she wants to have her baby shower at my house instead of at the church, which is fine. You know, her friends are doing everything, but I have to get my house ready for all these people to be in my house, you know. And then she wants me to help her with the nursery. She wants me to paint furniture. She's invited me today to go to her ultrasound this afternoon. I'm so excited about. So all of these things really are, I know, once in a lifetime opportunities for me to share this with my daughter. But it also adds to what's already on my plate. So it all gets squeezed in. And oh, and did I mention she lives an hour and a half away? So each of these things require a 3-hour round trip too, most of the time, you know. So that's before we even consider the occasional like bad things. You know, maybe somebody hurts my feelings. And I know that we talk a lot about not being offended. And the Bible tells us about not being offended. But let's get real. It's in the Bible because we do get offended. And so there are those moments when I get my feelings hurt. Or maybe I'm disappointed. Something has disappointed me. And you know in the last few months I've experienced this a really big disappointment that I've struggled with. So there's that. Or sometimes we experience some kind of loss. Maybe it's something really dramatic in the loss of a loved one, or maybe it's just the loss of a job or whatever. You know, we experience a loss. Well, all of these things have to be worked through in your heart and in your mind while you're continuing to take care of all these other things on your plate. And so it can get overwhelming real fast. And what happens, usually what's the first thing that gets neglected? Yourself. But for me, and I'm just being honest and transparent here, the first thing to get neglected is my time with the Lord. I'll get up and I will try to spend that time with the Lord. And is my habit is to get up early before everyone else gets up. I say everyone else. There's only one other person in my house. So I try to get up early before my husband gets up and have the house alone. And that's usually my time to just really get into the Word, to pray. I like to journal. I have my favorite teachers and preachers that I like to listen to or read or whatever too. And that's usually my time to get equipped for the day. But when I'm in the middle of all of this chaos, and then we throw in my feelings getting hurt and a huge disappointment in my life, and then these other exciting things like my new grandbaby, then I'm sitting there in the morning with my cup of coffee and I'm trying hard to get my focus on Jesus, but my brain is going in 45 different directions. And I'm just being honest, and a lot of times my prayer will turn into just a big pity party with God. Like, why is this happening to me? Have you forgot about me? What's going on here? You know, and it leaves me pretty empty and drained. You know, it's easy to kind of get in that pit. And, you know, Martin Luther once said, I have so many things to do today that I must spend 3 hours in prayer. I mean, that's a powerful statement, because the reality is we can do nothing apart from Christ. And so the more that I neglect that time, and it's not a quality time with the Lord, I mean, I may still be getting up and going in the living room and getting my Bible out, but it's not a time that I'm letting God get into me or letting the Word get into me, because I'm holding on to everything that's in my mind and in my head and my emotions and my heart and everything. And I hope somebody can relate, but, you know, if you can't, that's awesome. As I'm just being honest, because here's the thing, I've served the Lord for a long time. I know the things that God can do. I know what He has done. I don't know everything in the Word. No one does. We're always learning. But I know a lot, and I still get to this place. This is still the cycle that I go through from time to time. And so I think when I'm way up and I'm really walking in the presence of the Lord and feeling it, I'm thinking, I got this. I finally got this. I know what it means to live in freedom and to live in God's presence and to walk in victory. And I'm never letting this go again. I mean, 3 or 4 months ago, that's what I would have told you. Probably what I said on this show 3 or 4 months ago. I'm never going to let this go. And then incoming a few little things, one at a time, and I find out I'm just like back in this pit. You know, and I don't want you to think that I'm saying that serving God is a formula, because there is not a formula to freedom. It's who God is. It's just walking in His presence. It hinges on Him, not us. And even though Martin Luther said, you know, he had to pray for 3 hours, you can pray for 3 hours, and if you're not letting God in, it's not going to change you. And so sometimes we just need to be still. You know, that's where I almost labeled this morning, do nothing. You know, sometimes we need to just do nothing. You know, sometimes we just need to sit and just say, you know, God, I'm not feeling it today. And not that we walk by feelings, but God, I'm not feeling you. I'm feeling all these other things. And I need to be delivered from all these other things, because I'm letting them control me and I'm out of control, and I need you to be in control, and I need you to make me let you be in control. Sometimes it's that simple for me. And sometimes it can just feel like an almost impossible task, because, like I said, I know that the answer is on your knees and in the Word. But then I get in there and I don't let it get in me, and I'll wind up in this dark place. And what is so, so crazy about this is, a few weeks ago, I'm sitting in my living room with my coffee cup, with my Bible open in my lap, and I'm praying. But while I'm praying, I'm thinking about all of these disappointments. I'm thinking about my feelings being hurt, and I'm trying to pray around all of that. But that is like first and foremost. And I literally said to myself, I'm headed in a bad direction and I'm fixing to be in a dark place. Stop it. But I didn't stop it. I'd be like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm putting this, I'm putting this in the past. I'm putting it where it belongs. I'm not going to let it rule me. And that lasted about 20 minutes. Because we are limited in what we can do. So when I say, I am not going to let this rule me, I don't have control over that. It's like, God, don't let this rule me. Break me if you have to, because you know me better than I know myself, and you know what I need. You know what I need to serve you, to love you, to be whole. And that's what I want above anything else. It reminds me, one time I was, I've been a claims adjuster off and on for my whole adult life in a couple of different companies. And this was probably 20 years ago. And I was driving on Highway 6 South towards Altus to work a claim on a roof. We'd had a hailstorm, and I had all these roofs I had to look at in Altus, or Altus had a hailstorm. And so I'm driving down there, and as I'm driving down the highway, this was before that was four lane, it was all two lane, and there used to be a big curve right by a cemetery that they've taken that curve out now, but that's where I was at, was in that curve right by that cemetery. And this big gust of wind just almost came out of nowhere, and this huge, I mean, like this big around tumbleweed blew right across the road in front of me, and I couldn't do anything but just hit it. And so I remember I just hit it, and you know, it sounded horrible, and I immediately looked in my rearview mirror to see, to make sure it hadn't got hung up under my truck. And what I saw in my rearview mirror were all these little tumbleweeds going in a thousand different directions. And immediately the Holy Spirit just spoke in my heart and said, sometimes you have to take a hit to be multiplied.
Oh, come on.
And I thought, wow, you know, God just hit me, because I want to be multiplied, and I don't want to be such a big baby that I hold on to hurt feelings, or hold on to offense, or hold on to disappointment, to the place that you can't multiply me. Maybe that's the hit that I needed to take to be multiplied. And sometimes I think that's what happens in our lives, but we hold on to the hit instead of looking at how God wants to multiply things. At least I hold on to the hit. And I know when I'm in that pit, I know that God is with me, but I feel like there's a distance there. And I don't like when I feel that way. That's the thing that I want to try to avoid on a daily basis, is that distance. And I know that God is in the pit with me, but when I am in such a place that I can't even acknowledge his presence, that's when it's too far gone. You know, it's like, have you ever maybe been to a party and there's a person there that you haven't seen for a long time? You were good friends with this person, but you haven't seen him for a long time, and you start thinking, you know, I'm so excited to see them, but I wonder if they're excited to see me. You know, they probably don't. I probably didn't mean as much to them as they meant to me, or what. And so you find yourself kind of avoiding that person, but yet you can from time to time feel their eyes on you, you know, and it's just a real uncomfortable feeling. That's how I get with God sometimes. I like know he's there, but I have gotten myself into this place where I feel like, you know, I think he's probably disappointed in me. He's probably, you know, I don't know if he really wants to talk to me, but I feel him kind of looking my way. And it's just this whole like awkward existence, when in reality he just wants me to just run over there and say, oh, I've missed you. You know, that's probably all our friend wanted too, was just to say, oh, I've missed you. But the more we go down this road, the more we pick up things that we were never meant to carry in the first place. Those are the weights that start bearing down on us. And we kind of get to this place where we were like, okay, God, I don't really have time to talk to you. So just, I'm just going to take care of this best I can. And you just work out the details. You know, I hope I'm doing this right. Or I don't know, maybe some of you have been this, but like, God, I need to answer ASAP, like right now, because I got to take care of this today. I need this off my plate. So can you speak? Hurry up. You know, and we don't even, pause long enough for God to take a breath in our direction, much less speak. And then we get to this place where, was it really that important anyway? Is it really something that can't wait or that needed to be accomplished in the first place? Sometimes it's all in our head. I know I told you that I had recently been going through this huge disappointment. I mean, this was almost debilitating to me, and I won't go into detail, but I will tell you what God showed me. Because I felt like God had spoken into my life that these things were going to happen. I felt like it had been confirmed by two or three different people at different times without me bringing it up. And I thought, wow, God is about to do this thing. And then when it did not happen, I was so disappointed. And I was mad at God. I mean, I'm just being honest. And once I finally worked through my temper tantrum and allowed God to speak to me a little bit, I feel like God showed me that my disappointment, I was disappointed because of my own expectation. Because when I started hearing in my spirit and from other people that God is going to do X, Y, Z, I believed that X, Y, Z was going to look a certain way. And that is not, God's like, I never said that. That was all you. You just took it and ran with it and had this, this masterpiece portrait of what you thought I was going to do. And I never said that. All I said was blah, blah. And you turned it into blah, 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 blah. Come on. So my disappointment was in my own expectation, not in what God said he would do. And so I think that sometimes a lot of us are guilty in that realm. And so I had to kind of back off and go, okay, God, you're right. And you do whatever it is you want to do. And you just get left in this place where there's stress, there's anxiety, there's just all these emotions rolling around, and that is not what Jesus died to give us. That is the enemy. And I think sometimes we think because we're a Christian that we're probably not going to go through that stuff as bad. Or we think we've learned our lesson, so we're not going to go through it again. And then it creeps back in because the enemy is always after our soul. You know, Jesus died to give me everything that I need in this life and the life to come. He died to bring me peace. He died to bring me joy. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And in John 10:10 in the New King James, everybody knows this verse and we all quote it all the time. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The New Living Translation says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And then my favorite, the Message version, says, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than than they ever dreamed of. That's what my Jesus died for. And in the middle of all the chaos, know that Jesus died to give you more. Jesus died to bring you peace. You know, for me, I came to a place where, and I've done this multiple times in my life, so it seems like this cycle I keep repeating, but I just got to this place where my mind has to come to a screeching halt. And this was just a couple of weeks ago. I was like, God, my mind has to stop. My mind has to stop today. And when I finally get to that place, that's when God changes everything. So I think it might be a good time to go to prayer.
Okay.